They called it Zero Hour. 6 years of conflict culminated with incendiary bombing raids, artillery shelling, tanks rolling through the countryside. Cities were reduced to rubble. The death and destruction Nazi Germany had visited upon the rest of Europe came home to the Reich with a vengeance. The Allies had won, but the continent was near chaos. Europe was full of desperate souls on the move. There were caravans of displaced persons clogging the roads in every direction, forced laborers returning to Poland, prisoners of war returning to France and Britain, nearly 12 million ethnic Germans expelled from Poland, Czechoslovakia, Yugoslavia, and elsewhere, seeking refuge in Germany and Austria. Most haunting by far were the survivors of the concentration camps, who emerged from their imprisonment like walking skeletons. Soon, the world realized that the crimes committed in the name of Nazi Germany went far beyond ordinary violations of the rules of war. The Supreme Headquarters, Allied Expeditionary Force, prepared a comprehensive list of suspected war criminals. It was known as the Central Registry of War Criminals and Security Suspects, or CROCAS. The first version of the list contained 70,000 names. By some estimates, 160,000 people should have been included. The question facing the Allies was how to find and punish even those 70,000 perpetrators in the chaos of the months after Nazi capitulation. The Americans alone had to deal with some 7.7 million German military personnel in custody, including regular Wehrmacht soldiers, members of the paramilitary wing of the Nazi Party, the Sturmabteilung, or SA, which had played a key role in Hitler's rise to power, high members of government who had enacted deadly policies, and members of Hitler's dreaded vanguard, the Schutzstaffel, better known as the SS. Separating them proved difficult. One clue as to who was who came from a mandatory blood type tattoo under the left arm of all SS members. Captured soldiers were lined up and inspected for the telltale mark, but the method was not always effective. Two of the most notorious Nazi war criminals, Adolf Eichmann and Josef Mengele, were not detected. 17 people named Josef Mengele served in the German armed forces, and when captured, the Auschwitz doctor gave his last name as Memling, a famous Bavarian painter. He did not have the SS tattoo and claimed to be a regular doctor with the Wehrmacht. He ultimately fled custody, as did Eichmann. Neither was forced to stand in the dock for the post-war trials that began in Nuremberg. The pursuit of war criminals was just one of the Allies' responsibilities and not necessarily the most urgent. Germany was reeling from a total defeat rather than a negotiated surrender. People were starving, crops needed harvesting, and millions of POWs without jobs were released within months. The U.S. Third Army had released more than 500,000 prisoners by June 8th. The 12th Army Group freed an average of 30,000 prisoners a day. Meanwhile, the British sent home some 300,000 Germans as part of Operation Barleycorn, specifically so that they could save the harvest. That number grew to more than 1 million by August 1945, so that former soldiers could also work in mining and transport. There were untold tons of rubble to clear, bridges to rebuild, unexploded bombs to remove. The telecommunication network, postal service, highways, railways, and even local public transport systems had to be rebuilt. On June 29th, 1945, the Allied Supreme Headquarters issued Disbandment Directive No. 5, which authorized a general discharge of German prisoners not in automatic arrest categories, such as SS members and war criminals. Captured soldiers were simply looked over by a doctor and given a questionnaire to fill out. Interviews were brief. If a soldier was discharged, he received half a loaf of black bread and roughly a pound of lard as rations for the journey home. With such speed and great numbers, it was unavoidable that some war criminals would be among those set free. One of the men kept in custody was Hauptsturmführer Aribert Ferdinand Heim, an Austrian doctor with the Waffen-SS, the military wing of the SS that had grown into a parallel German army. Though a prisoner, he continued to serve as a doctor, treating wounded Germans at the 8279th General Hospital near Carentan, France, about 20 miles away from Normandy's Omaha Beach. The hospital was actually a giant tent complex, previously an American field hospital before the United States handed it over to the Germans.